You know what it is. That's right. It's time to talk money with your money nerd and financial coach. Now, tighten those purse strings and open those ears. It's the Money Talk with Tiff podcast.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to say that this is a special episode of the Tiffany's Take Tuesday. I went live with four other personal finance creators and influencers, and we did like Ask Anything Roundtable as part of the Raising Generational Wealth Summit that happened last week. If you didn't get a chance to check that out or you're not following me on social, first of all, go ahead and follow me on social. And then second of all, I'll make sure I have a link to that summit in the show notes. Although it's over, they still have the replays available. So definitely check it out. I had a session on your money mindset, which did very well. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback about it. So I hope that you check it out. But without further ado, I am going to play you the replay from the Access Anything because it's full of gems. So yes, this episode is going to be a little long, not like our usual shorter episodes, but I promise you will learn something. So enjoy.
All right. Hi, everyone. How's it going? I'm super excited to be doing this, and I need to get my setup going here. I want to thank the three of you, or four of you, pardon me, for popping into this live. I wanted to do this live so badly, and I was like, I don't know if there's going to be enough capacity. I don't know how this thing's going to go. Being the first summit, you know, you just never know how things are going to go. But I knew I wanted to have a live component. I knew I wanted to have you folks at this thing because I know the questions that are coming, they're coming for you. We've got our money mindset person, Tiffany Grant. Tiffany, do you want to do a quick intro?
Yeah, sure. My name is Tiffany Grant. I run Money Talk with Tiff, which is a financial education platform in the form of a blog and a podcast, social media presence, try to make money fun. So, hey.
All right. So that's Tiffany Grant. And then we've got Kelly here as well. Kelly, do you want to do a quick intro?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Kelly Shostrom, kellyshostrom.com. I also have a podcast called Budgeting Period, and educating folks on mainly the beginning parts of personal finance, budgeting, and how to inform your dream life.
Amazing. And we've got our man Gabe in the house. Gabe, you want to do your little intro, please?
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Gabe Walters with Steadyworth at steadyworth.com. And we do financial planning. So we help people build a one-page financial plan. And our whole goal is to, one, make money fun, but also just to make you more hands-on with your money. So we want to have you more hands-on so that you can be navigating to living the life of your goals.
I love it. And our lovely Deb. Deb, can you do a quick intro for yourself, please?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Meyer. I'm the founder of Worthy Nest, where we help parents build wealth in alignment with their values. So I'm a certified financial planner and have been helping families for many years navigate the complexities of building wealth, but not doing it in a worldly way, but also kind of thinking about their values, especially Christian and Catholic values, if they're trying to align those more thoughtfully with their finances.
I love that. I love that. So yeah, we've got, we've got this open panel. I put out a call for questions to see if anyone had any questions. Nothing's really popped up. So this means I get the opportunity to ask questions, which is what I always love to do. So yesterday was our day one of the summit. It was our money mindset day. I told Tiff when I reached out to her, I'm like, Tiff, you're my number one. I need someone who has a money mindset, angle to kick things off. And Tiff, I won't lie, I watched some of your session yesterday. I watched it with my daughter, who's 10 years old, and she was so into it. And I wish I took a picture of her watching your session because that warmed my heart. And I just wanted to say, one, thank you so much for doing that. If folks haven't caught that session yet, it's still available for like, I think, another 12 hours or so. Tiff runs a masterclass. She basically runs a masterclass on shifting your mindset. So Tiff, I just want to kind of open it up to you a little bit and just talk a little bit about why that's so necessary, why we need to focus so much on mindset when we start talking about money.
Yeah, so mindset, so everything starts with mindset because in all actuality, money is just a tool. And so everything that we do with our money all starts here. And so if you don't have that mindset right, or, you know, if you are you know, there's so many different things. You're dealing with financial trauma, you're dealing with, you know, just being in a struggling mindset or anything like that. It really hampers your creativity and your ability to start using money as the tool that it is. So in my philosophy, money is just a form of energy. And so when we use our money, we're just exchanging energy.
I love that. I love that so much. And honestly, your session, like I said, I was watching it with my daughter. It really breaks down, not just like it's, and this is why I love this summit so much. We could easily just go through and say, this is what, you know, you should be thinking about or what have you. You actually walk through ways to help people shifting that mindset. And I'm so grateful for that. And your session, like I said, it's powerful. It's super, super powerful. So for folks who haven't checked that out, go and check that out. But one of the things I wanted to make sure what we were doing is we're getting into the nitty gritty. We're actually doing things that help us move the needle with our personal finance, which is why I started today off having Gabe as the first session. Because I feel like once you get your mindset right, once you can start thinking about it, now you need a plan, right? Now you need to know what to do next, which is why I had Gabe from Study Worth come in. So Gabe, can you just talk a little bit about why that plan is so critical to getting your, to reaching those goals?
Sure. You know, I always equate a financial plan to, I say, you know, if imagine if you, I live down here in South Florida, like in our, the biggest mall by where we live at is Aventura Mall. And I say, imagine if you walk into Aventura Mall, this huge mall, and you say, hey, I want to go buy a Foot Locker, but I also want to grab a Cinnabon and maybe I want to go to Old Navy as well. You know, the first thing you're going to do if you go into this huge mall, if you, you know, if you're not familiar, and I'm definitely not familiar with it at all, you have to go to the marquee. And the marquee, on the marquee, you're going to basically find the "you are here." And from there, you're going to plot all the different points in the mall you want to go to. And I see, you know, building the financial plan looks as the "you are here" point. It allows you to lay out everything that you have. It shows you exactly where you're at. And then it shows you, you know, what are the best parts to plot to your next points, which are your goals that you're looking to accomplish. And so, you know, so many people, I feel like, you know, they come and they're like, hey, I want to invest, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. It's like, hey, let's first organize your goals. Let's see where you're currently at and see what's the next current step for you so that you can get there in a strategic way.
I love that. Thank you for that, Gabe. And then the other part of it, and I think this is the part that it trips up a lot of people, and this is, again, why I needed to have all of you folks here. It's once you've got that plan, once you've got that place, that thing in place, the part that usually comes up next is, okay, well, how do we reach it? What's the one tool that can actually measure the inputs and outputs to get us to where we want to go? And then we get that B word, right? And that B word is budgeting, and people get freaked out when they hear budgeting. They think, oh, this is what's going to keep me from doing and spending and all the things that I care about. And I see you there, Kelly, and I'm coming to you there, Kelly, because we really need to focus on the budgeting piece. And I'm going to have some specific questions for all of you early in a moment, but I just want to do a quick little, you know, this is how we get from point A to point B. So Kelly, tell us a little bit about why that budgeting piece is so critical.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm still thinking about Cinnabon from whatever Gabe was talking about. So, the second he said that, I was like, how do I make that my reality? No, but you're absolutely right. I have a course that goes through, and I don't do enough of the other things that Gabe and Tiff were talking about, because we all are our own experts in our own areas, right? But the budgeting piece is where I really like can shine, because once you get your mindset right, that you can, you believe in yourself, you know that this is just truly an energy, I believe that as well, Tiff, and that you can actually make progress, and you forgive yourself for your past traumas, then you got to figure out, okay, what are my goals? What's my North Star? What do I want to do with my life? That's what Gabe was kind of talking about. And then my piece is, well, how do we actually do it? How do we not only build that B word, that budget, but how do we make sure that we're tracking our expenses along the way so we know if we're following this plan? How do we make sure that as life happens to us, we have a baby, we buy a house, somebody's income changes, how can we make sure that we're constantly working in that spending plan, reassessing and opening communication with our partner to make sure that we're staying on track and that we're getting all of our questions answered kind of as life hits us.
I agree with you. And then the last part that I wanted to talk about, and this is, I think, is so critical, and I'm, you know, this event is an event for parents, right? Like we can't talk about all of these things. One of the goals that we need to do is basically preparing our kids and being prepared for all eventualities, which is why, Deb, I'm so grateful that you were able to come and talk about what you're talking about. And I want you to get into that as well, because we as parents, we need to be doing two things at once, right? We need to be preparing for ourselves mm-hmm. while we're also getting ready to, you know, help our kids launch into adulthood. And if there's anything that happens to us, we need to make sure that we can pass on whatever we were able to build onto them. So if you wouldn't mind, Deb, just talk a little bit more about what you do.
Sure. Yeah, I work with families one-on-one as a financial planner. So really helping them once they've gotten the foundation, they've done their budgeting well, they have their mindset right, they're harvesting that abundance mindset that Tiff talked about, and really trying to get them moving from a place of, okay, we have this extra cash flow at the end of each month. We've managed our bills well. What are the next steps? What goals are we going to be saving towards in the future? So one important piece of that holistic financial planning process is estate planning. And that's actually what my session is on today. It's really just knowing that you have a solid plan in place. If something were to happen to you, whether it's a disability unexpected, or eventually if you end up passing away, how are your loved ones going to be taken care of? And I know it's a very morbid topic. It's not something fun that most people want to be thinking about. But I mean, the sad truth is a lot of people don't have estate planning documents. And if they don't, and something does happen, it's really hard for you to go through the probate process and have all of these unanswered questions from family members that are remaining. It just solidifies the process. So I'm not an attorney. I'm not trying to like make an extra buck getting estate planning work done, but I am a holistic CFP and financial advisor that really does focus on trying to make sure families are protected. And part of that protection is really just looking at the estate planning aspect.
And so the reason I sigh there is that you're right. It is so hard for us, especially as parents, to think about, you know, these potential eventualities that aren't pleasant to think about. Mm-hmm. But there's so many, and pardon me, the things I say is, you know, we have to do the hard things, right? We have to lean into the hard things because that's what gets us to the hard places, the places we want to be, right? If we want to leave generational wealth, then we're going to have to do a little bit of sacrifice and we're going to have to do a little bit of planning. And if we want to make sure that our kids are prepared no matter what eventuality may come, then we also have to make sure that we're thinking about all the potential eventualities. Okay. So Deb, thank you for that. So I'm going to get into a few more specific questions. One that came up in the Facebook group. So for those who aren't already aware, this is the Raising Generational Wealth, Ask Me Anything live. So the Raising Generational Wealth Virtual Summit, I should have done this in the beginning. The Raising Generational Wealth Virtual Summit is a summit to help busy parents get comfortable talking about money, teaching money, raising generational wealth, and then hopefully passing on some of that knowledge and wealth onto their kids. It's an event that's happening over 3 days. Day one was yesterday. We're in the middle of day two. Day three is tomorrow. And all of the presentations are on demand and they're virtual. So if you want, you can jump onto the website, raisinggenerationalwealth.com, sign up. It's 100% free. We've got over 20 speakers who are all donating themselves. These are four of our expert speakers right here. They're all donating their time, their expertise to help us get better with our money. So hopefully we can also raise the generational wealth of our families and our kids and our kids' families. So getting into some of the questions that I saw up in the Facebook group, one of the ones, and I'm getting back to you here, Kelly, was about budgeting and how do you make budgeting work for you? And I know you and I've had these conversations in the past, but I wanted to have you kind of speak about like, how do you make budgeting work? Because I know a lot of folks, they try it, something doesn't work, and then that's it. So what are your thoughts there? What are you thinking, Kelly, when it comes to budgeting? And I'll open this up to everyone in a moment as well.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, seeing a lot of these folks at conferences as well, we all have opinions on budgeting and how to do it. And so I'm curious to see what others say too. But when you said, how do you make budgeting work for you? That was kind of the key phrase there, because I can't just tell you about this app that I use and this is what my husband and I do. And because it is truly up to you and how, what works best for you and your family. And so what I would say is keep trying things until something starts to feel like, okay, this is possible, right? Because, and I would say, don't give up, don't lose faith, because something doesn't work the first time or two. You are reversing an entire system mindset that you've done or avoided your entire life. And all of a sudden overnight, you're like, I'm going to start being a budgeter. And it just doesn't work that way, right? Just like, I'm going to start working out every day. It takes some time and it takes some commitment and some practice. And so with all of that, you know, you can do, there's different apps out there that you can, sign up for that you can actually keep track of all of your categories within those, whether it's an app, you can also use a spreadsheet. There's Excel has free templates. I have free templates. I'm sure half the people on this conference has free templates. No excuses for you don't have a spreadsheet. There are spreadsheets everywhere. And you can also use a good old fashioned envelope system where it's just plain cash and you have it in envelopes. And that way, when you walk into the grocery store, you know exactly how much money you're playing with. All that aside, whatever method you decide to use, you can do a combination of it. Maybe you only have cash for restaurants or things that you overspend in. Maybe you want to use an app just to kind of keep your high level strategy, tracked, but you want to make sure that you have an Excel spreadsheet for the day-to-day expenses. Whatever it is for you and your family, whatever technology feels right, whatever you kind of normally gravitate to, I would say start trying that right away. And then when you find that you're messing up or that you're not able to stick to something, truly have a little bit of introspective conversations and figure out what's causing me to quote unquote fail. Am I not, do I not have enough reminders or am I not setting up systems in my household to make this automated? And have conversations with your spouse as well, because you want to make sure that you're both on the same page.
Oh my gosh. There's so many parts that I want to pick apart. It's so good. Everything you said was brilliant. I'm going to pick up on a few points. You mentioned cash envelope budgeting. For folks who've registered for the summit, I've got one of our sessions is with Shane Walker. He is the CEO of Cube Money. It's a digital cash envelope budgeting system. He's giving away 60 days free just to try it. And apparently, like with that system, they're saying you'll save like hundreds of dollars just by giving it a try. I've seen it. I love it. I think it's a great app. You're right. There's so many. You could do paper and pen. You could do spreadsheets. We have worksheets in the, I think it's in the goodie bag or somewhere. I know one of our speakers, Jess, has offered, a budgeting template. I know in my course, I have a budgeting template. There's so many around there. You just have to find what works for you. Really is a trial and error thing until you figure out the thing that works for you. I know some folks you need a budget, and a lot of people love it, and other people hate it. So it's really about finding the thing that works best for you. And then you also touched on right at the end, you need to kind of shift your mindset a little bit. You said the words. So I'm coming back to you here, Tiff. What are some things you can do? Let's say you start using a budget and you're like, this isn't working for me. And then what are the things you need to do internally to say, okay, I'm going to either stick with this or I'm going to try something else and actually accepting like, this is something that I think will be good for me. Is there something that we could be doing? And I just realized I got my name here as Kelly. Is there something that we could be doing to help people start making those shifts of mindset?
Yeah. So one thing I went over in my session was looking at budgeting as giving you permission versus restricting you. So budgeting is my jam as well. I love it. But that's just one example of how you can make it easier to stick to. And I use the example of dieting. So if you say, oh, I'm going to lose weight or I'm going to feel healthier and I'm going to diet, right? So diet has this negative connotation, kind of like budgeting does. But if you look at budgeting as, oh, this is actually going to give me permission to do the things that I want to do in life, or you look at dieting like, oh, this is going to allow me to live a longer, healthier life, and you flip that perception from a negative to a positive, then you're more apt to use it. And then also realize, like the other speaker said, it takes time. So I tell people it takes a good 2 to 3 months to get your budget right and get it to a point where you can stick to it consistently. And I usually start people with tracking. So don't even go into the full budgeting process to start off. Just start tracking what you're already doing. And honestly, that usually helps people kind of curb their spending in some ways as well. So you can always ease into it and just go at it slow, go at it at your own pace, and you can look at what other people do, but don't think that that is what you have to do. There's so many different ways to do it.
Thank you for that. So one of the things that I wanted when it comes to personal finance, it could feel complicated. I'm not saying it is complicated, but there's a lot of pieces, right? So when it comes to making sure we've got our money right, how do we make all this fit? So Gabe, I'm coming to you, and then Deb, I'm going to come to you, because you guys both kind of talk about planning and putting these pieces together. So how do you take a budget and a financial plan and marry the two to actually meet your goals? And like I said, I'm just going to come to you, Gabe, and then Deb, you're right up after that.
I think, you know, Deb kind of touched on it a little bit. She was like, you know, as a CFP, you know, one of the things we talk about is like holistic financial planning. And so that kind of like that holistic financial planning is touching on, I would go as far as to say, as many little plans inside of a big plan. So I kind of see that that financial plan is kind of like that bigger plan. But inside of that bigger plan, you have your estate plan, which is a smaller plan inside of your financial plan. You have your tax plan, which is a smaller plan inside of your financial plan. Your budget, which is your spending plan inside of your financial plan. You know, if you're managing debt, that also has a plan inside of your financial plan. Insurance. And so like the financial plan is kind of like your master plan. Then you have these smaller components which make up this holistic financial plan. And so I feel like, you know, as you're clear, but it all kind of, everything is tracking back to your goals. So kind of like as you're clear on those goals, then you're able to marry all of these smaller financial plans together. And as I believe it was Tiff who just said it, talking about like equating budgets to working out or to dieting, you know, like all of a sudden, if you're clear on like, hey, these are my goals that I'm trying to accomplish, it makes that budget a lot easier to accomplish it. You know, like if it's like, hey, I'm trying to have a six pack this summer at the beach, it might make not eating ice cream last night a lot easier, which that actually didn't work for me because I did have ice cream last night, full disclosure. But, you know, so, but, you know, as you're clear on that thing, then it helps marrying these smaller plans together, because these smaller plans are actually working together for this bigger picture that you're hoping to accomplish.
And Deb, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gabe really hit it on the head. It is part of that comprehensive planning process when you have all of these kind of multiple facets. But I would say even when you're just trying to look at your budget, kind of see at the very beginning, okay, do I have extra cash at the end of each month? That's question number one. And if I don't, understanding, okay, do I need to increase the income? Do I need to decrease the expenses, or a combination of the two? And just starting off with that simple realization. Now, hopefully you're in the black and you have extra and you're like, okay, now what do I do in terms of actually saving that? Do I put it into a short-term cash, I call it opportunity fund, or do I put it into something more long-term like college education plan or a retirement account? Like those kinds of questions, that's what we're financial planning process. So we're always at that evolution of trying to understand exactly where your goals are, where your objectives are, and crafting a plan specific to you that we can move forward with, and knowing that life changes along the way and different goals are going to arise. It's not obviously not stagnant. That's change is one certainty of life. So just understanding that over time it's going to evolve, and being able to come back and talk with a trusted advisor is really important if you're trying to make some measurable impact on your long-term financial goals.
I love that. So I'm going to switch gears a bit. One of the things, this summit is, like I said, it's for parents. So my thing is all about teaching parents how to teach financial literacy to their kids. I had a, there's a question in the Facebook group about how do you help teach kids financial literacy and how do you teach them financial concepts? I have some answers for that one. I have some things I want to add to that comment, but I'll open it up to the four of you. Is there anything that anyone wants to add to how you can help get some financial literacy into your kids?
I'll go first because I have the I have the littlest opinion, so I'll go first. And I always, when I speak with people, tell them to find somebody that teaches you about your money and your kids, because there are so many opinions out there about like allowances and whether you should pay your kids just to breathe or they have to do something for it. And and I think I think there is no technically wrong answer. It kind of depends on, you know, what your strategy and what your long-term goals are. But I will say that they just need to be a part of the conversation. So whether or not you give them an allowance, or whether or not they want to, you know, spend money at a store, they should be involved at an age-appropriate level, of course, to know, hey, we're not buying this, not because we quote unquote can't afford it, but because it's not in our plan. Or, hey, we have this money to spend. Let's do something with it. And of course, it's really important to make sure that they're on the same page as the rest of the family for spending money, for saving money, and for donating money. And so how you get them involved in these conversations is where I would lean on some of the experts, but it's absolutely critical that they are part of the conversations.
I agree with all of that. And then I will jump in here just as a, if I can, because I haven't said much. I've just been chatting with you guys. But when it comes to helping teach our kids about financial literacy, Kelly's spot on. Getting them involved and being open and honest and being willing to have these conversations with them and talking to them and letting them know, you know, how money works and what we do with our money, how we get our money, and all of these pieces of money. I think it's critical that we tell them, that we actually let them know, well, what is money? How does it work? And that's for the little ones. And as they get older, we want to give them opportunities to use it. The more they have a chance to use and practice using money before they need it, the more chances they have to learn and, you know, gain all the experiences that they need, or as many as possible, so that once they do become young adults and they have to function in this world of ours, they have the skills that have been established through you as their coach and their advisor right beside them, so that they can start moving into, like I said, into adulthood with success. So when it comes to this one, and I have a session on day three, actually there's a bunch. Day three is really about, this is when, you know, when it comes to like helping our kids learn financial literacy, day three is when it kind of blows up, because I'm talking, I've got Dan Sheeks, he's going to talk about financial independence for young people. I've got Rob Phelan, who's going to be talking about how to help young people learn about becoming young entrepreneurs. We've got Maya Korbik, she's amazing. She's going to be talking about teaching young people about investing. Got Will Rainey, he's going to be talking about how to get kids to understand the rules of wealth and how to follow them. And that's not to mention all the stuff that's already come up. So if you register today for the virtual summit, for the Raising Generational Wealth virtual summit, on day one we had David Delisle talking about money mindset and, you know, only buying your awesome stuff. We had a few speakers who were talking about, you know, becoming like financial role models and becoming, you know, teaching kids to grow up with like a wealth conscious mindset. And that's not to mean, you know, being about getting more and acquiring more, but just being aware that wealth is necessary to move forward in our world with the options that we all kind of want to have. So there's so much value here. So for folks who are interested in helping their kids learn about money, there's a lot of that in this summit as well. So you can register. There's a QR code on the screen. You can go to raisinggenerationalwealth.com and you can jump into the summit. The, like I said, day one summit presentations are still available for another 12 or so hours. And day two is on right now, and day three gets released tomorrow. And I think, Tiff, you said you wanted to add to this as well.
Yeah, just to continue the conversation, I totally agree with including your kids. I know when I grew up, it was a household where I wasn't included on anything, so I learned nothing. And so I make a conscious effort to make sure that they are involved with a lot of my decision making and stuff as well. So to give you an example, when we used to go to the grocery store, anytime they would ask for something, I would say, well, it's not on sale, right? So after a while, they wouldn't ask for anything unless they saw the sale sticker. So that was teaching them, like, I am being conscious about how much we're spending. I only like to buy things that's on sale. So don't come to me unless it's on sale. So then they started getting smart and doing that. And then also, you know, I also grew up where, you know, you get asked the question, do you have McDonald's money? Well, now I can't do that with my kids because they will tell me, yes, you can use my money. And I make sure that they are well aware of how much they have in their account, how much they have spent. And even with my teenager, my oldest son, when he first became a teenager, so at 13, that was part of like his introduction to teenage years. I took him to the bank and he opened up a checking account, got a debit card. card. And then I made him look at his statement every month. Like, well, at first made him do it because he didn't know. And then now he looks at it every month to make sure everything is flowing as it should. I let them know about what their investments are looking like. They're 529. And they're like, oh my gosh, like that's how much money I have. And so, you know, just keeping them in the loop on all of these different things, I feel is helpful for them in the future. I mean, time will tell, but hopefully they're listening.
No, it's true. And I've done similar things with mine where, you know, I've got their education account opened up, and not all the time, but on a semi-regular basis, when I look at it, I'm like, man, that's a lot. That's more than I've got right now. I'll show to him. I'm like, this is what you've done. And now my son, because he's been around me and he's a similar disposition to I am, or I was, he's very curious about money and he's curious about investing. So he's started to, you know, through me, through my brokerage account, he's bought a few investments of his own. And it's because he's seen me talking about it. He's heard me talking about it. A lot of the books that our speakers have. So I mentioned Maya Korvick. She just released a book called From Piggy Banks to Sock. He saw that and he got super invigorated to buy more investments. He heard about Dan Sheikh's talking about retiring in your early 20s and 30s. And he's like, wait, what? That's a possibility? And I was like, if you get your stuff together, it's a possibility. And he got super, he's like, so how much do I need of my allowance? Do I need to save to get a down payment so I can start house hacking? He's going to be 12 next week. Like, this is a 12-year-old talking about house hacking. So it's possible, but we need to introduce these concepts to them so that they know what's available to them. I'll take it back to like when I went off to school, or when I was about to go off to college. Like, I took the opportunity that I knew was available to me, but I knew such a small subset of all the possibilities. Had I known there was more opportunities, there's more things I could have done, I might have taken something else. Not to say I regret any of my choices. It's just to say having a wider breadth of knowledge of options really can help our kids start to navigate this world a little bit more deeply. So I'm going to take it to another question in a moment, but did anyone want to add to that? Because we're talking about kids and money, I'm all over that. I don't ever want to get off that subject. Does anyone else want to add to that?
Sure, I'll add to it. I was really enjoying when you and I had talked on my podcast episode and you were talking about just making it relatable to your kid, because all kids have different interests. I mean, I have three boys. They range in age from 9 to 14, so different money stages, but even just the things that they're interested in today, one's more athletic, one's more into piano and music, that kind of stuff. Another is into video games. Like, just figuring out in the money conversations that you're having, okay, what's really going to resonate with them. I think I had posed a question to you about investing, because I was like, all right, I have a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old that are both interested in investing. I'm not going to be having the same conversation with them though about investing, because they're interested in different things. One of them's really into playing Pokemon with his friends, so talking about diversification from a Pokemon card perspective. And then the other that's more interested in video games, we can chat about, okay, you don't want to keep playing the same video game over and over unless you want to become, you know, a master at that. You probably want to play some other video games from time to time. So just teaching that concept of diversification, I thought that was so valuable from our conversation earlier, and just really hit home for me.
Yeah, like I said, if you want to talk kids and money, I'll talk about it all day long. That's why I wrote the book on it, Your Kids, Their Money. So for folks who are interested, like I said, all of these speakers have amazing content. I'm not stopping the conversation here. I just want to give everyone a quick roundtable again. So we've got Money Talk with Tiff. We've got Budgeting Period podcast with Kelly, we've got The Worthiness with Deb Meyer, and we've got Steady Worth with Gabe Walters. And all of these speakers are just fantastic. So follow them. I'll keep popping up their Instagram handles on the screen when I can. All amazing at what they do. So I just want to make sure I call that out. But we did get into a question in the Facebook group. So again, this is the Raising Generational Wealth Virtual Summit Ask Me Anything session. And in the Virtual Summit Facebook group, a question came up about overspending. And one of the folks there, you could tell that she was feeling it, right? She was feeling the pressure of like overspending, and how do I stop overspending? And I'm not calling out names. I just want to kind of address that question. And one of the sessions I think that really talked to it was the Money Mindfulness one by David Delisle. His session was day one, and he kind of talks about it, but I wanted to bring it up in this form as well. And Deb, I think you might have something you wanted to add to that. So I'll let you start it off.
Yeah. I think for anyone, then, when they're thinking about the spending decisions that they're making, it has to be in alignment with your values. And from a values perspective, if you haven't really sat down and thought about what your core values are, and if you're married, what your spouse's core values are, trying to come up with those and just understanding, okay, is it family? Is it health? Is it faith? Like, what are the things that drive the majority of your decisions? So finding that values consistency is going to be really important before you really analyze the spending decisions. And then once you have kind of the top two, maybe five core values identified, just asking the question when you're overspending and you see, okay, I budgeted this and I have this as my actual spend, it's significantly different. Say, is this a reflection of the values that I've chosen? Yes or no? And oftentimes you can find, okay, if you are way overspending in a certain category and you say you value a minimalist lifestyle, but you're overspending on Amazon, well, I don't know. I mean, most of the things Amazon sells are more, you know, physical items that add clutter to the house, right? So no, it's not going to be consistent with your values if that's what you're overspending on, right? So just having that self-awareness around what your core values are and whether the spending decisions you're making are consistent with it, I think can really bring to light where you might need to be making some changes and really modifying that spending going forward. The other big ticket items to think about too are like mortgage, cars. I mean, if you don't really care, you know, some people are very into cars, right? They want to drive a luxury car. That's a big deal for them. But for most people, it's not that big of a deal. They're okay driving a mid-level car rather than a luxury car, even if they're earning a nice income. I will say, like, in my personal experience, we haven't ever bought a luxury car, and we've been financially smart with our decisions, but it's just not our thing. Like, my husband drives a, I don't know, 6 or 7 year old Mazda, and I drive a Kia Telluride, which is a nice car, but it's not like Audi or Mercedes or whatever. So again, just trying to evaluate, are there bigger ticket items that maybe you could be adjusting because they're not consistent with what you really value?
Tiff, what do you think about that?
Oh, where do I begin? So I'm definitely going to go the woo-woo route because that's just what I do. But I want people to understand why they're overspending too. So in order to change our behavior, we have to understand we are doing it and then why we're doing it. So, you know, is the overspending fueled by family? Is it fueled by friends? Is it fueled by what you experienced growing up? Maybe you were in a situation where you didn't have much, so now you feel like you have to buy whatever you want, you know? Is it social media? Like, there's so many different things that play a part in how we spend our money. So I feel like that's important too, to understand where this is coming from. But also I wanted to add that planning ahead can curb your guilt. So we all have things that we're interested in. For me, I spend a lot on technology. That is my thing. And that's what's important to me. And so I make sure that I plan, aka my budget, to make sure that I have it there for me to spend on. So that way, if I see a new technology that I want to try out, I don't have to feel guilty for doing that. So I just wanted to put those two things out there, thinking about the mindset piece as well.
And Kelly, I think you have something you wanted to add to that as well.
Yeah, and this is part of the resource that I gave for everyone here, a part of this summit. It's a 90-day expense tracker, but as Tiff was saying, the woo, and somebody, I can't remember who, but talked about you have to put in the woo and the work. And so there's a little bit of both coming together, right? And so my tracker, the 90 expense tracker, it's free and it talks about, but where is my money currently going? Because I think a lot of us on this call, we hear people say they overspend or they are in denial and they don't necessarily know where all their money goes, but they don't think they overspend or, you know, they are a minimalist. So why are they so broke? All these different things that we're hearing, but until you actually have the data behind it, you don't really truly know what's going on. It truly never surprises me when I'm working with clients and they, you know, they fill out this 90-day expense tracker. It tells you, you have to type in, it's the work part, right? You type in all of the spending that you've had in the last 3 months and It just tells you how it is. So this is how much you've been spending on restaurants. This is how much you're spending on, you know, coffee splurges or kids' clothing and all these things. And it's shocker for everybody that's looking at it, their own personal spending, where exactly their money is going. And so before you can put into place where you want your money to be going, I think it's really important to come back to the basics of figuring out, okay, but where's my money currently going? And that way I can alter the path that I'm currently on.
So there's so much value in this group. There's so much value in the summit. So I just want to call it out again. So this is the Raising Generational Wealth Virtual Summit, Ask Me Anything question. And really, we'd be taking all kinds of questions here. The summit is meant for parents to help them raise their awareness, raise their knowledge, raise their confidence, and hopefully have a chance to pass some of that knowledge on to the next generation. All of the speakers that I was able to get, all of them, every single one of them, donated something. So if you register right now, and I'll pop up the QR code again, and I'll put the summit on the ticker as well. If you register now, you will be able to get there's a swag bag, a free swag bag that has Deb donated her worthiness toolkit. And I'll let you talk about that in a moment, Deb, just to tell people what's in it. There's all kinds of stuff. And it's just a swag bag. You just get that for free, just for registering, a bunch of free stuff. For every one of the speakers, they donated a freebie. So if you go to one of their presentations, right underneath their presentation, you can click and get, you know, you can get their toolkits, you can get their workbooks. There's just so much stuff that they're just giving away. And that's just for free. That's just for you. That's just for attending. And the reason is I'll be one of our speakers, myself included. We just want to help you get to the place you want to be. I know I've been in dark places when it's come to my finances, and my mission is to help other people not ever have to go there. And I know how hard it can be to do that. So I wanted to bring all these speakers together to give them a chance to speak to you. You know, they're live in the Facebook group answering questions. They've got their presentations that are ready for you to watch and consume. And in addition to that, there's just all these resources that they've been giving us just to have to help us feel better. So please register for the summit. There's still 2.5 days worth of presentations coming out, and there's already yesterday's presentations that are available. There's still more than enough time to get involved. And I hope you just take. Just, this is one of the times where I'm like, you know, most times I'm all about give and you'll receive. In this case, just take, and you will get something. You will get so much out of it. So Deb, I mentioned the toolkit. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Sure. So the toolkit is based on my book, Redefining Family Wealth. And just to give a little backstory, I had been working one-on-one with clients for several years and then realized that there were a lot of commonalities among the clients in terms of kind of digging through this financial planning process, from the basics of budgeting and debt decisions to more advanced concepts around saving for education, not just college education, if you have private school goals as well, trying to figure those in. Because obviously those come at another price tag. And then retirement planning, understanding the generosity component, if you want to be more generous with money, all of those things I put into a book a couple of years ago called Redefining Family Wealth. And then the toolkit is actually the digital version of that book, plus some additional bonuses. So it has a workbook that kind of guides you through more specific questions on each chapter. And then additionally, it's like a nice little guide around more of a manifesto almost, just around some of the principles of living in prosperity, regardless of your exact net worth or number, right? So anyway, that's a free toolkit, and it's just for attendees of the seminar. I normally charge $19 on my website, and I give you the discount code. It's GenWealth24. That's GenWealth24. If you're interested in downloading it, again, normally $19, but that will get you free dream this virtual summit.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for that, Deb. And I, like I said, all of the speakers have donated something. Their sessions and just their sessions alone are so valuable. Like, just by attending their sessions, like I said, Tiff, your session was a masterclass, just helping people crush that money mindset piece. And I love it so much. Gabe, can you just tell folks a little bit more about like what you do and how people can find you?
Sure. Yes. Well, we help people build a one-page financial plan. And so there's a couple different ways we do that. Currently, we have a we call it our Financially Fit group, whereas if somebody joins the group, they can build their one. They'll get the access to our online course to build your one-page financial plan. You can do that in 54 minutes or less. And then from there, you can you have access to me, certified financial planner, for group coaching. Also, my wife is in the group, and she is over. She's a corporate consultant. And bringing, or she says, a recovering corporate consultant, and she's bringing her experience to. She works in change management, so kind of focusing on mindset and helping you, you know, shift change to get into financial planning. So you can find us at steadyworth.com. If you Google us, Steadyworth is one word because it's one vibe. And so yeah, we're at Steadyworth on all platforms, whether it's Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere.
Amazing. So before I get you off the screen, just sure. Tell people a little bit more about your session. Like I already mentioned, like Tiff's session was a masterclass, and you also do you do a workshop. You're running a workshop for yours. Tell me a bit about your session.
In our session, we literally run you through our one-page financial planning course. So if you go through there, we'll walk you. So if you watch our session, it'll walk you through how to build a one-page financial plan using what we call our Take Charge Financial Planning Framework. This is a framework that I actually designed using what I would consider to be the 10 main components that a certified financial planner would walk somebody through to build a very base-level comprehensive financial plan. We also have a free giveaway, which is a session with myself. And so in that being, because if you fill out the financial plan, you might say, hey, what do I do next? And so if you would like to get our free giveaway, you can use the QR code to book a call with me, and I'll actually walk you through what does your financial plan mean? What are some of your strengths and weaknesses, and what might be some things to do next? We're also throwing in 1 month of our free membership to our Financially Fit Club. We charge $129 a month for that. But if you would like to, you know, that's also one of our freebies. So if you'd like to hop into our Financially Fit Club for 1 month, it's a $129 value for you for attending our session, filling out your financial plan, and booking a call with me.
That's amazing. I'm going to give it over to Kelly just to tell us a little bit more, one, about your session. And I also want you to tell us a little bit more about what you do and where you do it.
Yeah. And so my session really just helps you understand, like, what are all the things that have to go into budgeting and getting back to the basics and personal finance 101 and kind of that laying the groundwork. And so I think, you know, as we talked about during this entire stream, it's really easy to kind of get into our own heads, to start something and then quit again, to start investing when you don't even know where your money is going. And so it's kind of just reorienting you to make sure that you're kind of following, like, what are the steps that we need to do all this? And then as you watch my session and you see me touch on pieces, lean on the experts in the room here. So when I kind of dabble on making sure you're in a positive space mentally, you know, Tiff has been talking about that a lot. And same with the financial plans. Once you know, okay, I want to sit down with my spouse and I want to build our you know, our goals and our financial plan, for lack of a better phrase, they're in the rooms that are doing that. And so the budgeting piece is, like I said, the 90-day expense tracker. Where is my money currently going? And then I help you flip that. Now, where do I make it, or how do I make it so that it starts going where I want it to go? And so I've been spending $300 a month on restaurants. I really want to get it down to $250 because I want to use that extra $50 towards something else. And so, yeah, we get really tactical. We get really deep into the budget. And I think it's just really important because that is truly how you can gauge whether or not you're on track for your spending plans.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that. And so listen, I'm just seeing in the Facebook group, some folks are having a hard time finding the actual live. So I'm trying to see if I can support them while we chat. But I do want to give Deb, you kind of talked about what you do, but can you just talk a little bit more about where people can find you?
Oh, you're sure. Muted. Sorry.
Right? That's okay.
I was trying to stay quiet. I'm available online at worthynest.com. That's WORTHYNEST. And that's really the hub. I do have the book Redefining Family Wealth. You can find it there. Also have a free resource for, it's called the Family Finance Starter Guide. So it talks about the top 10 financial myths facing parents. So you can find that at the bottom of the homepage. And then I guess online as well. I'm pretty active on Facebook and on LinkedIn. So not as much on Instagram. I know a lot of people love Instagram here, but just haven't been too active over there yet.
That's okay. So I know that I think it was Tiff, you just helped me out in the Facebook group, and I really appreciate that. So quick question for the group. One of the things that I know folks have a hard time with is just figuring out like how to prioritize, right? Like what's the first step when you're feeling uncomfortable with your money? Like what's the next best thing you can do when you start feeling like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, or I'm feeling overwhelmed? What would any of you say is the next best first step? I'll open that up to all of you.
So, of course, I'm going to say start with why you feel that way. What is making you feel that way? What is it that you're experiencing? So, like, as an accredited financial counselor, I deal with clients one-on-one. And to give you an example, I have clients that just have financial anxiety. Like, they just don't want to look at their bank accounts. They don't want to look at anything money related because it just gives them that anxiety. So kind of checking into why, you know, you're starting to feel that way. And then you can start making plans around how to deal with that. So for instance, with this particular client I'm talking about, you know, I know that she has financial anxiety, so we do a lot of stuff together. And now she's getting to a point where she's like, okay, I can do this, you know, I can do this. And just having those positive reinforcements, whether you hire someone or use affirmations or whatever the case may be, just checking into that, I think, is the most important step.
Did anyone else want to add to that? Because honestly, I know folks get very overwhelmed when it comes to finances. And one of the things I want people to walk away from after this event is feeling a lot more comfortable, a lot more confident, like they know what to do, which is why I asked, and I think all of you saw it when I asked you for your presentations. It's like the last thing I want is for this just to be theoretical, right? Like I want this to be action-based. But I know with so many speakers with 25 plus sessions, it could still be overwhelming. So I'm just trying to help the folks who are, you know, who are in the summit. Just what would you say is like another, you know, first step? Like what could you do to get going? And I see you shaking your head there, Deb.
Yeah, I was just going to say at a practical level, and again, this is a push for the all access pass. If you're overwhelmed just by the sheer number of sessions and you're like, hey, great, that there's a lot to learn, just understanding that you could, you know, get the all access pass and at least have that extra leg room to, watch the videos at your leisure over time. So understanding that it's not a sprint, it's more of a marathon when it comes to building long-term wealth as a family. And even no matter where your starting point is, just understanding that it's not going to be a quick, easy process. It's going to take some time and sometimes hard work and dedication to reach your financial goals. So again, great that you're showing up, great that you're taking that first step to really raise awareness of your family's financial situation and then hopefully foster some great habits in your kids. But just being okay with the idea that you don't have to figure this all out today or over the weekend.
I appreciate that so much because like the one thing, like I said, and I was really worried about it because I know like I'm sending in a lot of information and it can become overwhelming, right? There's a lot of sessions, there's a lot of different topics. And the last thing I wanted was for folks to feel overwhelmed. So Gabe, you have something you want to add there too?
One thing that we don't say this in the session that we usually, this is a question that we usually open with, but due to time, we didn't open our session with this. You know, one thing I always say is, you know, we say it's like, hey, write down three things that are beliefs that you have about money, because a lot of times, you know, even though we're speaking to parents about educating parents about their children, where did parents get their education from is probably from their parents as well, or from, you know, growing up in their own household about their different money. And so a lot of times it's like, you know, we say, you know, write out those beliefs and then understand, like, are these beliefs, you know, where did these beliefs come from? Are these beliefs that I want to carry forward with me? Or sometimes these beliefs are even lies that we've just heard and we have kicking around in our head that we're walking with. And so just make sure that the beliefs that you have about money, about your personal finance, is something that are true to you, or they resonate with your values, and that they're things that you really want to continue to go forward with.
I agree with that. And like I said, and Deb, thank you for mentioning the past, because honestly, the one thing I think might really make people stumble is if they try to consume all this information all at once, right? Because consuming information is great. It's wonderful to learn all of these different strategies and these different skill sets, but trying to then apply all of it all at once, it is too much, right? Like the goal isn't to give you so much that you can't achieve anything. It's to give you what you need right now so that you can start to achieve something. So the All Access Pass definitely gives you that freedom and flexibility, which is why I wanted to create it, so that you can go and come back and, you know, you've got all of the sessions ready for you for when you're ready for them. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to create that pass, because when I was creating it, I was like, this is gold, but it is a lot. It's all great, but you need to be able to consume it in a way that makes the most sense for you. Kelly, I see you shaking your head there too.
Yeah, and there's so much to unpack here. And we kind of talked about it earlier, where we are unraveling, we're unpacking a lot of bad habits for some of us, right? That we've been ingrained, whether our parents were doing it or we've just been ignoring things for so long. And so we're not just going to, after this summit, you know, wake up and be like, I'm a new person. I'm going to start budgeting. I got my one pager financial plan all ready to go. My mindset is like, I'm like the richest person in the world, right? Like that's just not going to happen. And so I think to be realistic, I always tell people, do a little bit of thinking. And what are the things, what are like one to two things that truly stress you out? So when I was going through all of my debt stuff with my student loans, it was the fact that I just like owed so much money to my student loans, which is my biggest killer. It wasn't that I had a car payment. It wasn't that I didn't feel like I made enough money. It was truly the payment for the student loans. And so think about it in your own situation. What is it that is truly stressing you out? And then start to make these micro changes in your life. Is it just that you feel like you're not investing enough? Is it just that you feel like you're wasting too much money on restaurants? Is it just that your credit cards are maxed out? Whatever the one or two things that is truly overpowering your mental state and causing you to, you know, not get enough sleep at night, start little things to kind of fix those areas first.
And then it comes down to actually how do you do something, right? Like it's, you need to set intentions, you need to set goals, you need to, like you said, pick something. Don't pick everything, because if you pick everything, we're going to be doing nothing, but pick something and then start working towards that. So there was a question in the Facebook Summit group, in the Summit Facebook group. I just put all the words together there. Tiff, do you want to take it? Could you repeat the question and answer it for me?
Yeah, sure. So it says, how to defeat a poverty consciousness. And I love this question because it's right up my alley. And it's something that I also struggled with for a very, very long time. So just a little background information about me. I'm a single mom of three kids now. But when I started on this journey, it was two. And I was to the point where I was living not just paycheck to paycheck, but tax refund to tax refund, school refund to school refund. Like it was bad. And what kind of helped me make that shift was, first of all, getting more aware of my situation. So when you are in a poverty consciousness or poverty mindset, you're thinking about the next day. How can I get food on the table right now? How can I, you know, do these things right now and not really thinking about the long term? And so I started budgeting. Of course, we've talked about that. But just starting to put it on pen and paper, you know, starting to write it down in black and white, because I tried doing the mental accounting for a while. And with the mental accounting, honestly, you are in a worse position than if you just write it down, if that makes sense. So what I've realized is when I write things down, or if I'm feeling anxious about my money, I go back to the basics, AKA the budgeting, because that'll give me that peace of mind. So I started there. But then of course, if you're barely making ends meet, then you're going to be in a negative. I was prepared to see that, right? But then what that also allowed me to do was gave me the motivation to start making more money, to start doing more, because I was like, I can't keep living like this. And so seeing in black and white how much I really need to make, it propelled me to get a new job making more. It propelled me to do side hustles, all these different things to make sure that I get back in the black. So those are some things, some tips, I guess, that I can give you when I was going through that situation for sure.
Did anyone else want to address that question? Because it's a great question, and it's a you could tell it's a meaningful question. So I just wanted to give everyone a chance to, if they want to contribute to that, to that one.
I have a quick comment to add to it. I think one thing is to remember that this is all temporary, right? I think when a lot of us coaches, we talk to people, and it's, you know, especially Tiff, single mom of three, how are you supposed to get that side hustle? How are you supposed to work on the weekends or afford daycare just to make a little bit more money? And I think that we have to remember this is all just temporary. And so we're not asking you to work 80 hours a week for the rest of your life, but what can you do right now? What can the hustle be that actually still allows you to have some time with your family, but also that, you know, you're a little bit of tough love on yourself and you realize you need to get some of your ducks in order. And then as you can just get into the black, as you can just start to have a little bit more money to afford groceries without, you know, having a panic attack, then you can start getting rid of some of those side hustles and start to loosen up the reins a little bit.
I love that. And I think in my interview with Andy Hill, he mentions that as well, right? Like there's a side hustle, which we have, I think it's Colin Graves is going to be talking about it on day three. The side hustle that is to hopefully maybe transition to your out of your 9 to 5. There's that side hustle. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only side hustle. There's that temporary, I need to make a quick change here. And I like how you said it. It's temporary. And this is what I talk about when I was going through my financial struggles. Recognizing, and I, you know, this happens in hindsight, and this is why I try to tell people now, recognizing that it's a point in time and that you can work your way out of it, and it doesn't have to be the rest of your life. We've got folks here who, like I said, we've got Tiff, single mom, we've got Anna Boyd, single mom. So we're not all, you know, we're all doing it in our own way, but you have to find the way that makes it work best for you. And maybe that is, you know, a little bit of sacrifice right now to get you to that other side. Or maybe that is, you know, it can go any way. It can go any way. So I do appreciate the way you said that there, Kelly. Did anyone else want to add to that question? Because I'm, you know, it's one of the, like I said, it's a pretty important question. Oh, you want to go back? Go do it, Tiff. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to add really quick, y'all, please tell me when to stop. But with that, I'll also add that even though it's temporary, right, when you are in that mindset, it's hard to think creatively. It's hard to think outside of the next day. And so one thing that I do with my clients sometimes, if they're in that mindset, like I've had clients that get on the phone, they just start crying. I'm like, okay, let's just envision that life is perfect. What does that look like for you? And so as they're going through this whole visualization activity, and so one writing down what they're saying, and those are the goals that they have. And so sometimes you kind of have to be creative in how you approach the situation too, just to get out of that negative autopilot is what I call it. So that way you can think creatively, like, what else can I do to make this extra money? Because, you know, all of those emotions and stuff is all physiological too. It's psychological and physiological. And so just doing that switch can really unlock some doors.
I appreciate that so much. So the only other piece that I wanted to talk about, and we just mentioned, you know, the single parents. The other part of it that makes this really complicated is that we're dealing with money in families, right? So there could be a partner, often kids. So one of the things that, you know, and I'm glad we had Ed Combs, a financial therapist, talking on day one about talking about money within a partnership, within a couple, within a family. It's the other piece of this is that feeling like you're totally alone and keeping it all to yourself is what makes that feeling so, so much worse, right? So finding resources, finding people that you could talk to, that you can, you know, can be confidants, it can be, you know, accountability partners, whatever it is, finding a way to make a community come around you is what can really help you move forward. So I'll just add that last little piece. But we're right at an hour, and I know folks, you know, this was amazing, and I'm so grateful to all of you. But as Tiff, as you said, we're here for a great time, but not for a long time. So I will start wrapping this up right now. I told you, Tiff, I watched your session. It was fantastic. I'm not just making this up. Everyone here was spectacular. Thank you all so much for coming on, for just being open to sharing and contributing. I'm going to do one more roundtable, but I want you to tell people not just where to find you, what you do, how you can help them. Whatever you think you do, what everyone here does something to help someone else, tell us how you help them. All right. And I'll start with you, Kelly.
Yeah. So KellyShostrom.com, you can just go there and that'll like link you to all the things, right? Newsletter, Instagram. But basically if you need help with, I'm ready. I know that there's other people that help me with other things and I'm all for connecting all the dots. But if you're ready to get really on a spending plan and try to make your budget work and make sure that it, you know, aligns with the goals of your family on pen and paper, on Excel and keyboard, then go ahead, whatever mode, cash and envelope, and go on all day, folks. But go to KellyShostrom.com. There's a course that I have. It's super affordable. It's less than, you know, one happy hour. And basically it walks you through exactly step by step. There's a video for every single step along the way to get you from, I have no idea what's even happening in my life, and all the way to I have a spending plan and my spouse is actually on board with it. And so KellyShostrom.com, at Kelly Shostrom on Instagram, and happy to walk along with you guys on this budgeting journey.
I love that. So I'm purposely telling these speakers to be promotional, because what they do is so beneficial to all of you. So all of you can join the Raising Generational Wealth Virtual Summit right now and hear from them for free right now. Yeah. You can just jump on right now and get all of this 100% for free. But they all of them are amazing, amazing people, and they do amazing things. This is what they do. They help people. So I want them, if you've heard what they've said today and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to connect with them, this is how you connect with them. This is how you find them. This is how you get yourself to feel better. All right, I'm coming to you now, Tiff.
Yeah, so you can find me at Money Talk with T on all social media platforms. Money Talk with Tiff is the podcast. MoneyTalkWithT.com is the blog. And I specialize in, of course, the money mindset piece, but also I'm very heavy into small business. So you'll find a lot of business content, side hustle content, things of that nature. And I love helping people with that as well. I'm an accredited financial counselor. So, of course, I help people one-on-one with all of the good things, whether it's budgeting, setting goals, getting that mindset right, coming up with tips and strategies for you to get past any blockages that you may have. I also help with that. And I have a course called Budget Nirvana, if you're interested, where I go over the money mindset piece. Actually, the session that I did for this summit is actually the first course in Budget Nirvana. And so going through the mindset, then going through tracking, budgeting, all those good things is in that course. So I can go on forever, but that's just cliff notes of what I have going on.
We all can go on forever. This is what we love. We're all so passionate about this. This is why we're so excited to come on to this session and come and talk to people during the summit. Gabe, can you tell people again what you do, where they can find you, how you can help them?
Oh yes. Once again, Gabe Walters, you can find us at Steadyworth, and Steadyworth is one word, Steadyworth, but one word. And so, you know, it will help you build a one-page financial plan with action steps. Another thing that we also help do is that if you're interested in investing in the stock market and you want to know how to set up a brokerage account, whether it's a regular brokerage account, an IRA, Roth IRA, we walk through how to set those types of accounts up, what are the different custodians that are available to you, how to take a risk assessment questionnaire if you would like to, you know, to do that to start investing in those accounts, what are the things that you would buy in there, whether it's stocks, bonds, ETFs, mutual funds. We explain all of that stuff. And so, you know, some stuff is, you know, some people do like a DIY. We look at our courses like a DWY, which is not a do-it-yourself, but a done-with-you. So we work on building community and we do everything with you. So you kind of, you get that support that you need. And so feel free to email me, GABE@steadyworth.com. And looking forward to connecting with you.
Thank you for that, Gabe. And Deb, can you just give a quick...
Sure. Yeah, I'm Deb Meyer, worthynest.com. Again, that's the central hub. I do have the Beyond Budgets podcast, if you want to listen to that on your favorite podcast app. Also, just from a way I help people, I really am a holistic fee-only financial planner. So I don't make commissions. My only source of compensation is what my clients directly pay me. And I really do love working with families, just helping them build the bridge between where they are now and where they want to be in the future, and touching on all facets of the financial planning and investment process. Like Tiffany, I also work with some small business owners. I'm a CPA by background as well, so have a little bit of niche expertise for those that are parents and small business owners, kind of a cool one-stop solution for a lot of those people.
And really quickly, I should probably introduce myself since I didn't do that in the beginning. My name is Clifton Corbin. I'm the author of Your Kids, Their Money. I am the host of the Raising Generational Wealth Virtual Summit. The reason I have created this event was because basically one of the things that I keep hearing when I talk to parents about teaching their kids financial literacy is they felt like they needed more support with their own financial literacy. So that is why the virtual summit is a thing. And I'm so, so excited for this virtual summit. I'm so grateful to all my speakers. I can't thank all of them enough. And there's over 20 speakers. Sorry, I really cannot thank them on this moment as much as I would like to. But I'm so grateful for the four of you for jumping on with me, answering these questions, just having a conversation with me. I would love to do this again sometime. I had a blast. I don't know if you did, but I know I had a blast. And like all of us, we love money so much. We could talk about it all day long.
For days.
For days. But we do need to call it. So thank you, Deb, Tiff, Gabe, Kelly, everyone. Go to raisinggenerationalwealth.com. The summit is still going on for another day. You can hear from all these amazing speakers, plus so, so much more. And thank you just so much for joining me. And I will catch you at the summit. All right. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening, joining, and being a part of the Money Talk with Tiff podcast this week. You can check Tiff out every Thursday for a new Money Talk podcast. But if you just can't wait until next week, you can listen to previous podcast episodes at moneytalkwitht.com or follow Tiff on all social media platforms at Money Talk with T. Until next time, spend wise by spending less than you make. A word to the money wise is always sufficient.